I'd like to share from Proverbs in chapter 3. So last Friday we talked about a man who he went panning for gold because he knew there was, gold to be found. And a wise man that he was, he went searching for it. And he, in hard searching and hard work, he found that gold and he was able to use that to redeem that woman that we talked about last week. But the Bible also says that there's something that's more precious than gold and silver. So there's reading in Proverbs 3. If you look here, and let's read from verse 13 and 14. I'll just read it to you. It says, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold." So, you know, someone who were to find, you know, a whole pile of gold or get an inheritance, we would say, that man is so blessed. It's amazing to have this. With gold and silver, we know there's value. We know that we can use that to do a lot of things. Get things we need, get things we want, get us out of trouble. If we need money to solve a problem, we can just... People who have money, they say they don't have a lot of problems. They can solve all the problems with money. But we know that money doesn't solve every problem. That's a lie. People who have money and people who have silver and gold, they feel secure because it does give a little bit of security when you have possessions and you have silver and gold. It kind of protects you. Money can do things. And so there's a desire for that in our hearts and so the Bible uses that as an example of how we should desire after something that's more valuable, because everybody has a desire to have some wealth and security, and we know where to find that. And so the Bible says there's something that's more profitable than silver and gold. It can get you out of trouble, it can save you from problems, it can help you when you need to make a decision, it can benefit you in so many ways. In fact, you know, James knew that, and he said that when you're in trouble, when you're in a trial or distress, he says, don't worry, just count it all joy, he said. Because God's doing something, and in the midst of the trial, if you don't know what to do, he said, all you have to do is you have to ask for this one thing. He said, you got to ask for wisdom. And God will give you wisdom to help you in your struggle, in your trial. So, it says here that the man who is blessed, you know what it means to be blessed? That means that man is happy. You know, the way we understand blessing is basically the words translated means happy is the man who finds wisdom. So when I read that, I say, you know, many times I found myself in a situation where I've had to ask for wisdom. And I go to God and I know that the Bible says that when I ask for wisdom, I have to ask with faith. Because I have to believe that God is going to give me the wisdom. It says, the Bible says that God gives wisdom, he gives generously to those who ask in faith. So I know that God can give me wisdom in a situation where I need some understanding. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to deal with a certain situation. So I know that I go to God. And many times I've gone to him, and many times he's given me wisdom. And I look back and I see how faithful he is and how he does every time. He gives wisdom exactly like he says. But you don't get wisdom if you don't search for it and if you don't desire it. So it says here, blessed is the man who finds it. You have to find wisdom. That's not something that you just pick up on the shelf. You can't just go and just buy it at the store or just say, oh, I have my own understanding and my own wisdom. In fact, the Bible says you're not supposed to lean on your own understanding and your own wisdom. It says in all your ways you have to acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So when I say, well, I understand, I know how to figure this thing out myself, well, my path is going to be very crooked, because if I do it my way, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be a problem. But if I cast those cares on Jesus and I ask for wisdom from him and I say, Lord, I have my own thoughts, but the Bible says my thoughts are not your thoughts and your ways are higher than my ways. So I need your understanding and your wisdom to know how to deal with the situation. Because your wisdom is more precious than gold, and that means it's valuable. And everyone in the Bible who found wisdom was found life. In fact, it says that in verse 18, She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all who hold her fast. It says right there, happy is the person who finds wisdom. And it's a tree of life. Everyone who finds wisdom is like, just find life. So it's very important that we search for it and find. If you read Job 28, you know, it says in there that the birds, they've never seen it. You know, the bird and the animals, they don't know where it is. And it says no one can find it. They don't know where this wisdom is. It's like, it kind of describes it like, you know, gold and silver people, they dig for it, they make a shaft into a mine or into a mountain, and they dig deep into the earth's cavities to try and find these precious jewels. And in fact, it says even here in Proverbs 8, it says in verse 11, wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. So wisdom is more precious than jewels and gold and silver. And there's nothing natural on this earth that you could ever want from God's perspective that will be more precious than finding wisdom. So can you imagine if you actually believe that with all your heart, what you would spend your life or your time doing? You wouldn't be spending it trying to find more valuable things, natural things or material things that satisfy the flesh. You would be seeking and searching for the spiritual wisdom. So Job said that in 28 there, I think it was it Elihu or one of them, he said, nobody knows where it is, but he said this, that God, he's kind of hidden it. Like God hid, you know where precious jewels and gold and silver are hidden? They're hidden in the earth. You have to really search for them to find them. So to find wisdom, there has to be a heart cry and a search. And you know what? It says here in Proverbs 2, verse 1, Proverbs 2, verse 2, it says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. So, you know, if I don't turn my ear and I say, where is this wisdom? Where can I find it? It says, incline your heart to understanding. So I have a part to play. If you cry for discernment, so now the Bible says I have to cry. Proverbs 2, verse 3. You cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding. So in Proverbs 3, verses, this is a common verse, 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, I'm not supposed to trust or lean on my own understanding. I'm supposed to trust God. And then in the previous chapter, it says, I'm supposed to lift my voice for understanding, not lean on my own understanding. I have to lift my voice. That's like praying. It's like prayer. You ask God, I need your understanding. I need your wisdom. What is your will? It's like we had prayer this evening about, Lord, if this is your will, we ask for this. Or, Lord, if this is your will, we ask for wisdom. Should we do this or should we do that? What should I do? I don't know what to do. I don't know what your will is. But if we cry, and it says in verse 4, if you seek for her, that's wisdom, as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures, it says, you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. You will get something from him. You will get this revelation of the fear of God and discover his understanding and his knowledge. And it says that the Lord gives wisdom. Isn't that good to know? That if you don't have it, you can get it. So where is this wisdom? God has it. He hides it. Not everyone gets it. Do you know that? Not everyone gets wisdom. Only the ones who cry, according to what we read in the Bible, only the ones who search, only the ones who seek, only the ones who ask. It says, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. God speaks it with his words. And guess who hears it? The ones who have a spiritual ear, they hear his words that speak wisdom. And you know where he stores it? It says right here in verse 7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. For the ones who have an upright heart, they want to do what's right. So if you have it in your heart, you want to do what's right, God has something to give you. He's going to give you the wisdom to know how to do it. If you don't really want to do what's right, if it's not really in your heart, you just want to do what you want to do, there's no wisdom for that person. But it says it's for the upright. That's the person who wants to do what's right. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. You know what? He'll even protect you if you want to do what's right. Not if you've made mistakes or done things wrong. It doesn't matter. But it says he's going to protect you from others if you want to do what's right. That's what it means to walk in integrity. So, if you keep looking, it says here, verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So if you cry for it, God will speak it, and wisdom will come, and it will start to come into your heart. It will go from God, and it will come into your heart. Isn't that amazing that the Bible says that? And even James said that's what's going to happen. He's not holding it back. He gives generously to everyone who asks, everyone who wants to do what's right. God will give you something supernatural that nobody else has. And it's going to come to you. And it says, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. You'll get this revelation about God's will for you, and it'll be pleasant to you. It'll be like, now I know what God wants me to do. You know, there's people in the Bible, now I know what God's will is. Now I understand. Now He gives you revelation. So look here. It says, you know what it will do? It says here, let's keep reading. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. Do you know that? There's like, it's like, imagine angels. Would you like to have angels, guardian angels, watching over you, protecting you? Well, it's kind of describing wisdom and understanding, like these, like guardian angels. They're protecting you, watching over you. It says, and what do you think they're going to deliver you from? Verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. They're going to deliver you from people who want to corrupt you. Perverse speaking men, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk the ways of darkness. You know what? We pray for our children, you know, parents are praying for the children that they will be protected from wicked things as they grow up. But we need to pray that wisdom will enter their hearts from young age and understanding so that when they grow up, they don't follow the paths of the wicked and the unrighteous and they go down that, because children are naive. And you know what? Us growing up, you know how in your youth you made naive and simple decisions and you made decisions sometimes because you didn't know and they led you down bad paths. Well, how do you escape that? The only way you escape that is if you get wisdom and discretion when you're in your youth, so that when those decisions come, you can choose at the cross streets and at the corners where wisdom's crying out what decision you're going to make. Because you know that there's a harlot or a prostitute woman standing at the same corner where wisdom is, the Bible says, and she's going to tell you, come this way and follow me, and tempt you and seduce you to come a certain way. But at the same corner, the Bible says there's another voice, and it's called wisdom, crying out, and wisdom will say, don't listen to that voice. Follow me. And that's the decision that we make. And the decisions that we make, there was an article I think we read recently, determine the course of our life. Decisions we make determine what happens at the end of our life. So the wisdom that we receive is going to deliver us from the wicked and the paths of unrighteousness. And it says in verse 16, the thing we talked about, deliver you from a strange woman. That's an adulterous woman. From the adulterer who flatters with her words. So wisdom has many benefits to deliver us and save us and keep us from temptation. And Jesus Christ, you know that the Bible says Jesus has become to us wisdom? Jesus is our wisdom. So anyone who calls on Jesus' name anyone who gets Jesus gets wisdom because Jesus is wisdom. In fact, we go to Proverbs 8 again and just want to read a couple more things here. And then we're going to read a story in the Old Testament, an example of somebody who got wisdom, and you're going to see very clearly what happened to him in his life. And I hope it will encourage you to seek for wisdom the way the Bible says. So look at, in chapter 8, it says here in verse 1, does not wisdom call and understanding lift your voice? So it's almost like God hides it, yet it's like a voice. You've heard this still small voice? People talk about still small. It's like some voice crying out telling you, this is the way, walk in it. You know, don't go that way, go this way. So the Bible says that wisdom is actually calling out. So it's not like we can't hear it. It's just like the gospel, the Bible says the gospel is preached, it's gone out through all the earth. It's not as though people haven't heard it. It says, on top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. You know what that means? What does that mean, where the paths meet, she takes her stand? It says, beside the gates at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out. She says, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones. That means like they don't understand. It says, discern prudence. O fools, discern wisdom. What does that mean, that wisdom is standing in the where the paths meet? That means that where there's two paths, you know what that means? There's a fork in the road. Say you come to your life and you say, I'm at a crossroad in my life. I'm at a fork in the road. I don't know what to do. Here's the decision. One way this way, one way that way. Wisdom is right there at that point. That's what wisdom is. It's telling you the right way is this way. If you search for the right answer, I'll tell you. You can go this way or that way. You know what Jesus said? There's two doors. There's the narrow gate and the wide gate. Right? The narrow gate leads to life, and the wide gate leads to destruction. And if you saw the movie Pilgrim's Progress or read the book, Joey has a copy of it. It's really good. You'll see that this guy named Pilgrim, he goes on a journey, and he constantly is making decisions on his journey. And there's always these forks kind of in the road, or people telling them to go this way or to go that way. That's the whole story of that book. John Bunyan wrote it. He was a Christian man that feared God. He always had these stories about these forks in the road. And it was like, every time they made a bad decision, you got to see what would happen. You go down the wide path, and all these bandits and deceivers would come to deceive him. And then he would repent, and he would go back onto the narrow path, and he'd realize, man, I was making a bad decision. Then he'd go down the right path, and then life would come. And then he would get encouragement. Someone would come by and encourage him. He made a right decision. So wisdom is right there when we have to make decisions. And it cries out. And it says, search for me more than gold. Look at verse 10. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. You've got to choose one or the other, right? What do you want? You want this desire of your heart, or you want wisdom? It can be a lust of the flesh, a lust of the eyes. Or you could say, oh, but I want that. And the Lord says, no, choose wisdom. So it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. You know what prudence is? Prudence is when you see the end from the beginning. Can you imagine if you knew before you made every decision what the outcome would be? If you had like kind of secret knowledge, every time you could look, you could fast forward the video, you could see, I want to do this, this is what will happen. Wouldn't that be easy to make decisions if you had that knowledge ahead of time before you could see the end? That's what prudence is. It's like a wise man can foresee evil, the Bible says, and before he does it, he sees what the end of that would be, and he hides himself from it. He runs away from it. He says, no, if I do that, I know what's going to happen. Can you imagine if we had that wisdom all the time, we carried it with us? We would be able to avoid so many problems. So wisdom, where wisdom is, there's prudence. It says, I find knowledge and discretion. And here's what it is. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Wisdom and evil don't go hand in hand. Wisdom does warn you. It's like the flashing light saying, warning, danger ahead. That's what wisdom will always do, warn you and say, turn away from that. It's against pride and arrogance and every evil way. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. It's almost like Jesus is speaking here. Almost tragic. And listen to what it says here, and then we're going to go into this. It says, by me kings reign, and rulers decree justice. Did you know that when God appoints certain authorities, the Bible says that God has appointed all the governing authorities, and authorities were made by men, or God. So whenever there's an authority, God has allowed it. And it says that even those kings who have wisdom and you know, to make decisions about laws and rules, and where did they get all their wisdom from? Well, it says here. It's so clear in the Bible. By me, kings reign. God makes them the kings reign with wisdom. And rulers decree justice. They do what's right because God gives them the wisdom to do it. It says, by me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. Do you know that Nebuchadnezzar, why he was appointed a great king of Babylon was because God said he was basically humble and little in his own eyes at one time in his life. And God made him great. God actually just said, you're going to be great. And he made all the kingdoms rule under him. And he had wisdom. He could build these most beautiful gardens. And he made all these things. But what happened was, one day he got his eyes off, you know, the things that he should have been. And when he was humble, and he started looking at all the great things he did, and he said, look what I've done. And he became proud. And then God said, now I'm going to take away all the things I gave to you. I gave you. In fact, the Bible says that the one who has wisdom has wealth and riches and all these things. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had all those things. Under the old covenant, that was part of the blessing and the promise. So he had all these things, and then he became proud, and God says, I'm taking it away from you. But it says here that if there is a prince who rules or a noble or a judge, it all comes from God. He gives them wisdom to do that. Because, verse 17, this is an undeniable fact. I love those who love me. So if someone seeks wisdom and desires it, then God gives it to them. He loves those who love him. And those who diligently seek me will find me. What does that sound like? Those who diligently seek me will find me. Doesn't that sound like the definition of faith? Right? Everyone who believes that God is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So everyone who seeks wisdom, the Bible says, will find it. That's a promise. So you can never say to God, oh, God, I don't know what to do. You never gave me the solution. You never gave me the answer. Well, God will say, well, didn't I say here in the Bible that if you sought, seek it, I would give it to you? Yeah, you did. Well, then all you have to do is seek it and you'll get it. So look at verse 19. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield than choicest silver. The fruit of wisdom is even better than gold and silver. I want to believe that with all my heart. Now look, it goes on and on, basically talks about how God, you know how God made the whole earth? It was by wisdom and understanding. God received this wisdom and understanding. He had it. It was in him. And he did all these things. Now I want to look closely. And you can read, I mean, if you read Proverbs, there's so much on wisdom in here, especially chapter 8 and even 9. It goes on and on. I want to look at an example for you in Daniel. You guys have heard of Daniel. Most of you know Daniel in the lion's den, or Daniel had the dreams. Well, Daniel was known for one thing specifically that he had. And you know what he was known for was his wisdom. And Daniel had a bit of intellect and wisdom. That's kind of why he was chosen, first of all. But it's not because he just had it of himself. He did have a fear. From a young boy, he feared God and he had some wisdom. But God gave him more wisdom and more knowledge than he already had from his youth. Because of some specific things. Because he was a man that was sought God's help. And he sought to be upright, the things we're talking about. And Daniel, because Daniel got wisdom, he got himself in situations where when there was problems, he always found an answer out. And the Lord exalted him every time. So that he became the second in command. He went from being a place where he should have been a slave in Jerusalem to being handpicked to be part of the king's kind of entourage, to be part of his handpicked men beside him, to being second in command because of one thing, because he sought God's wisdom in his life. He sought to please God with an upright heart, and God just kept helping him and helping him, even in times when they were going to kill him. At one point in life, they were going to kill him and throw him in the lion's den. Another point in life, they were going to kill all the wise men because they couldn't interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And every time you look at the Bible, you see what Daniel did. You get to see that he did exactly what we just read about in Proverbs 8. He sought for wisdom, and God gave it to him every time. So we need to look at this example because it will help us when we go through situations. So look at here. It says that the king picked some men from Israel in verse 4 who were of no defect, and they were good-looking men, intelligent, wisdom, you know, had some understanding and discernment. So is that what made them so great? You can pick people based on their intellect. This is Daniel 1, verse 4. You can pick them based on some outward kind of things, maybe some intellectual things. But it wasn't just that that made these men godly men. Because we see that right after they were picked, God allowed a little test to happen. It was like a little test that they had to pass the test. And it was a test where they were risking their own, pretty much their own lives. And it was so serious that their kind of overseer, who was kind of looking over them, was scared for his own life. He thought he was going to get in trouble if he listened to them. So the king said, this is what I want you to do. He was going to teach them this language for 3 years. They're going to be in strict training. And so the king, verse 5, appointed them daily rations from his own choice food. It says to eat this food and drink the wine, which he drank. So what would you do? I get to eat the king's delicacies, and I get to drink his wine, and I get to be part of all his wonderful blessings here. But you know what? There was one problem, was that there were certain laws that God had in those days that they could only eat certain types of foods. You know, the Israel, you know how they have the kosher foods? They can't eat certain pork and things like that. Well, Daniel knew that if he ate all the things that the king said he was supposed to eat, he would end up breaking some of God's commands and he would defile himself. It says right here in verse 8. So Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. So listen to this. Daniel knew in his conscience that if he did what the king said, what man told him to do, that was like his boss. Now, of course, you have to do what your boss says. But in this one instance, what his boss was telling him to do was to break the word of God. And he knew that his conscience would be defiled and he would get defiled. He would commit a sin. So he said, look, I can't do this. I cannot do this with a good conscience. I'm going to take a stand on my faith. And he said, please excuse me from these foods. I want to just eat vegetables. I wanted to eat vegetables. And so he said, verse 12, please test your servants for 10 days and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Now, this is Old Testament, so don't think that if you eat vegetables, you're going to be a wise person and more righteous than the person who doesn't. But this was to show us what the point of this is that he had a conviction in his heart that he knew this to do this would be a sin against God. So when God asks you to do something, and someone else asks you to do something different, that's going to break God's law. Use this as an example to see what wisdom looks like. Because Daniel chose to please God instead. So he said, do this test. So 10 days he ate vegetables. I said, then you look at us and you tell me what you see, if it's better or worse for me. So he said, let our appearance be observed in your presence. And so they did that. So for 10 days they tested them. And at the end of the 10 days, in verse 15, their appearance seemed better than that. Than the others, and they were fatter or healthier looking, the way they worded it, than all the other people, the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So lo and behold, they thought it would be the other way around, but it turns out that when they listened to what Daniel said, and him and his friends all ate the vegetables, they were actually looking way better. And they, it says, as they observed them, they saw that there was a difference between them. And so when God saw that, God said, this man here, he wants to obey my word. He is seeking for wisdom. He doesn't want to defile himself. He's keeping himself upright. And look what happens in verse 17. For these four youths, so they were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Okay? God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. And Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. So, remember how it said that he was ready, an intelligent guy and all that? But it says here, God gave it to them, this wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He gave it to even understand even the languages. They had amazing abilities. And not only natural things, God even gave them spiritual understanding to understand dreams. And you know how important and valuable that was. Because as you read the rest of the book, you'll find out that if he didn't get the understanding of the visions of dreams, he would never be able to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, which later he did. So when the king saw what had happened, he tested them. In verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding, he tested them and he consulted with them. And you know what he found? It says he found them 10 times better. It's interesting, eh? They got tested for 10 days, eating vegetables, and they just trusted God with all their heart, and they didn't lean on their own understanding. In all the ways, they just acknowledged him, and then they were found 10 times better than everyone else. And then all these magicians and conjurers and all that. So here Daniel was, and he found that God had given him some understanding and wisdom in his life. So what happened was, as he got this wisdom, he started to kind of, slowly God was exalting him, and men started getting jealous. Some of his colleagues started getting jealous of him because he was being esteemed by men, and the Bible says that when you find favor with God, he can give you favor with men also. And if you seek for wisdom and understanding and uprightness. So what happened was eventually, there came a point in time where the king had a terrible dream that terrified him. He couldn't sleep at night. He was awake all night long. And so he couldn't sleep. He said, I need to get all the wise men to come and interpret to me these dreams. I have this terrible dream that's creating me anxiety and fear, and I need to know what it means. Because they believed strongly in those days, especially, that God would speak to them through in the night in different ways, and he still does. But he knew this was a very clear dream for him. It obviously woke him up in the night, and it was very vivid. He remembered everything about it. But the decision was that he wasn't going to tell them what his dream was. He wanted to get the wise men to tell him what his own dream was. So when they came there, they said, what you're asking is not possible. You can't tell someone their dream without knowing. You have to be a god to know that. And he said, I know what you're trying to buy time. If you don't tell me this within a certain amount of time, you're all going to be dead. Well, Daniel heard about this, and you know what he did? He was a wise man. He took his friends, and he called to first the commander. He said, give us some time. Go tell him, give us some time to seek God, and we will come back to you with an answer. So this he agreed with the king. The commander came, and they talked. And then he went back and they said to Azariah and Mishael and the other one, they said, we need to pray. We got to seek God for wisdom. So They cried out, and that's what they did. Proverbs 2, they started crying out for discernment and wisdom. They said, Lord, you got to help us. If we don't get the answer to this dream, we're dead men by the end of this time. So they cried out in faith to God. And you know what? Daniel had the exact dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and God showed him what it meant. So he came back to Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, Nebuchadnezzar, God has given me the interpretation and the understanding of this dream. Let me tell it to you. And he began to tell it to him. And he said, don't think for a moment that any of this wisdom comes from me. He said, God gave me the wisdom so that you can understand your dream. It's for your sake. And he stayed humble like that. It's amazing to me. And God gave him this wisdom, and he began to tell the king his dream. That day, you know what happened? Because of the wisdom that he sought, he saved his own life, the life of his friends, and all the other wise, so-called wise men. Everybody lived that day because God gave him the wisdom, and he ended up saving those people's lives. Now, wouldn't you think that people would see that and they'd say, they'd be so thankful for Daniel because they would have been dead men hadn't he interpreted the dream. That probably would have been, people would have been so grateful to see Daniel, they would have esteemed him in a way. Most people would have been like, wow, that guy has the spirit of the gods in him, they would even say. There's something about this guy. I mean, he cried out and God spoke to him. But you know, there was a couple guys that they were so jealous of him because they wanted to be in his position that they would arrange these schemes to try and get him trapped, so that he wouldn't bow down to certain idols and all these things, and eventually they tried to throw him in a lion's den. So, you know, you'd think that when you find wisdom, it says that God will be a shield to you and protect you, but it seemed like persecution kept coming. The more and more he trusted God, it seemed like it got worse, and that's always the way it is. When a Christian comes to the Lord, it seems like the devil comes to tempt you and to test you and to make your life difficult. But you know, when you trust God, the Bible says, if anyone keeps himself in Christ, the enemy can't touch him. And that is exactly what happened to Daniel. And when Daniel was there, and they trapped him, and they tried to throw him into a lion's den, it says that the lions couldn't touch him because he was innocent. And he had done nothing wrong. And so the lions were there, and they were like little kittens. They couldn't do nothing. And God had kept him that whole time. And through that, his testimony, in the end of it all, Nebuchadnezzar believed that the Daniel that God, or the God that Daniel believed in was the God, the true God. And he started to believe in his mind, from Daniel's testimony, because God gave him wisdom and understanding and delivered him from so many trials. So when you read the book of James, you see that the Bible says that when you're in a trial in your life, God allows these things. It happened to Daniel. He went through trials. But you know what? Daniel never stopped praying. He never stopped asking God for wisdom. He always was a man of God who would just go to God with faith. And he would ask God for wisdom. And then God would give it to him. And then maybe he would have a dream, or he would have an interpretation. He would share that. However it happened. And God started to exalt Daniel because he would never compromise. He would never trust in himself. He would always trust God. And he wouldn't say, it's my wisdom. He would say, it's God's wisdom. He stayed humble. And so when I look at Daniel and I see a great example that when you go through tests, don't allow the devil to shake you or you get so afraid that you start making decisions to save your life on your own initiative. But you rather, like Daniel does, you go and you say, we need to pray. We need to seek God for wisdom. We need to believe in Jesus. We need to call on the name of Jesus now. And he will make our paths straight. That's what the Bible says. Acknowledge him in all your ways, not just some. You know, this little test about the vegetables, it seems like such a small thing, but I think it's in the Bible to show us that if you obey God in small convictions, he will honor you in that. Little things in your life, just little decisions, and you say, well, I'm not going to compromise on that. And you go to God. Then, you know what? God will give you something. He gave Daniel something for his obedience and his faithfulness. So let's finish in Proverbs here. I want to read this last verse. It's a promise also for those who find wisdom. And let me just find the chapter in 1 second. Okay, so let's read in chapter 3. We were in chapter 3. We're going to keep reading. Verse 21. Proverbs 3:21. My son, let them not depart from your sight. What? What should we not let depart from our sight? It says, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Don't let wisdom or discretion... You know what discretion is? they sometimes say it on certain things. They say viewer discretion is advised. You have to use discretion about what you're going to put before your eyes. Use your own discretion. You know, you understand. So we have, there's discretion and wisdom that we need to exercise, spiritually speaking, to discern what should I do, what should I not do. So don't let wisdom and discretion depart from you. Always be seeking it like Daniel did. It says, they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. That's like, you know what that means? That's like, it will give you life within, and it will also give you an adornment. It's kind of like an honor, I believe, before God. It's like, it will adorn you. You know how the Bible says that a woman, when she dresses, or she has a meek and a gentle spirit, it's like it adorns her? Spiritually speaking, it adorns her. It makes her beautiful. That's what the Bible says. So, the same way wisdom and discretion can adorn you on your neck. It gives you an honor and a beauty. That's what wisdom does. It's not something you see with your naked eye. It's something that's in the spirit. It says, then you will walk in your way securely. It says, and your foot will not stumble. When you find this wisdom, you won't be walking down a path and hit something with your foot and trip and wonder why you fell. It'll always be like a, kind of like a light shining in front of you. It will protect you. When you have wisdom, it will warn you of the dangers ahead. It will help you when you're in trouble. And listen to this. This is a promise. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you have wisdom, when you go to sleep, it says when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Isn't that interesting? Because when you have wisdom and when you trust God, you don't have to be afraid about anything, because you'll know that God's always going to help you out of every situation. He's going to give you the answer. Can you imagine having that peace and comfort and security? Not because somebody's standing at your door with a gun protecting you, or because you have so much money you can buy yourself out of any problem. There's nothing natural. It's because you have something in your heart that comes from God. And when you lie down, you're not afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep is good, because you just cast all your burdens on Jesus and you prayed about it. It says, do not be afraid of sudden fear or the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. Did that happen to Daniel? How many times did Daniel get into trouble when they tried to throw him in a lion's den? They tried to throw his friends into a fiery furnace. You know about the fiery furnace? They tried to throw them in there. So many times they tried to put harm in front of them, but they could never do anything. They couldn't even burn them. They couldn't get smoke on their clothes. Because these men, they had God with them. Jesus is with them. Wouldn't that be encouraging to know, no matter where you go, if Jesus is with you, you could never have to worry about getting into trouble, or the wicked can't come and overtake you? That's what a Christian has when they have Jesus and they seek wisdom. It says here, you don't have to be afraid of any fear, and you don't have to be afraid of some onslaught. It says, the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. That's the promise that we see in the Bible, and that's what we see. I'll just use one example of Daniel, but it's a good one, because the Bible says really clearly that that's something that he had and God gave it to him. And you know what? He'll give it to you just the same as he gave it to Daniel. He gives it to anyone who asks. You don't have to be a special privileged type of person to get it. You just have to be someone who wants it really bad. You got to be like that guy who went all the way up to the mountains and he panned for gold for weeks and weeks and weeks, and he just didn't give up. And he finally found that treasure. And you know, think about how much good he could have done. And he did. When he got all that gold, he was able to free someone with that. Man, he must have felt good. He found that's a lot of gold to give up. But he probably felt so good because he did something right. Think about that. When you go to God and he gives you wisdom and you can help not only yourself, but you can give wisdom to others. That's what Daniel did. Wasn't Daniel able to help people with his wisdom? Yeah, he helped the king, Nebuchadnezzar. He gave him interpretations of his dreams, and he helped people when they were in trouble. He saved people's lives that would have died because God gave him wisdom, and God really honored him. So brothers, as brothers or sisters, whenever I'm in a situation, say, Lord, we need your wisdom. I want to help somebody. Sometimes you don't know how to help people, and I just say, Lord, I don't know how to help people, but I need your wisdom. I see maybe this person's struggling over here. I see this person here, and I need to ask you for wisdom. And then, you know, the Lord gives it to you, and then something happens, and you realize, wow, God, he gave me wisdom. I didn't know what to do. I don't even know where that came from. He kind of just helped me. And that's from God. And then you just say, like Daniel, Lord, I don't deserve that. It's not because of anything I have. It's only because you just gave it to me. And then God will just keep doing that. And you know what? Then those people, the Bible says, when you let your light shine like that before people, it says they'll go home and they'll probably be lying in their beds and they'll think, why why does God love me? You know, God did these wonderful things. Maybe my neighbor came and visited me, or this person brought me something, or they did something, and they'll start glorifying your Father in heaven. That's what the Bible says. They'll know it was you, but they'll be thinking in their mind, there must be a God. You know, people showing me this kindness, spending time with me, showing me love. Man, God loves me. He's really, you can see that he cares about me. He's using different people. He's coming. That's God. He's ministering to us. And we can do the same for our people when we just ask him.